Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Michael Dr. Stu Stewart. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, what's going on?
I don't know. What's going on with you?
Just talking some football with my good buddy James Kemp. How are you doing tonight?
I'm living the dream, baby. Pacers in four.
I don't think it'll be in four, but Pacers in four.
Dude, the Pacers are in the finals. That's the most awesome, I almost said ominous. It's the most awesome thing basically ever. It has nothing to do with fantasy football, but, probably if you're listening to this podcast, you probably like other sports. Go Pacers.
Hey, go Pacers. Good for you for liking other sports.
Yeah. Good listener at home or on the road or wherever you are listening to this podcast, good for you. Just good for you.
Okay. Well,
I don't know where this is going. All right. We got a good show planned for you all today. Last 2 weeks, we covered the NFC East. These next 2 weeks, we are going to be hitting the AFC North. We're kind of going in order of most complete teams, so hopefully we have to do as little backtracking as possible later on. So, for this first half of the AFC North, we're going to do what feel like far and away the two best teams in the division and two of the most fantasy relevant teams in the entire NFL. Those are the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Stu, any thoughts before we get into it? Or
yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm actually really, really looking forward to this conversation about these two teams. Each of them have, like you said, so many pieces that are going to be relevant to our fantasy teams in 2025. But also, these pieces are absolutely subject to debate. I mean, there's very few that you couldn't argue one way or the other. I mean, there's like Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. They're going to be good, barring injuries. But, you know, we'll talk about like Derrick Henry. What do you think he's going to do? Chase Brown, what is he going to do? T. Higgins, Yoshivas. We're probably not going to talk about Yoshivas very much. But there's lots of things here that are, you know, ripe for some spirited debate and discussion. And maybe you guys don't agree with us, but we're the ones in front of the microphones. So I guess it counts more.
And emphasis on the microphones. Took me about an hour here to get my microphone working.
Now,
but, yeah, not drafting this microphone in any fantasy draft. So let's go ahead and start with the Ravens. And there is a lot to talk about, but I think the name that definitely is most important on that team is Lamar Jackson. Reigning MVP?
No, he lost it to Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Someone is protesting and saying he's the reigning MVP, but could be MVP. Had a phenomenal year last year, one of several. He, from the rankings that I pulled today, is listed as the QB2 with Josh Allen as the QB1. And I really think both those guys are completely interchangeable. It's just based on your own preference. I like Lamar a little bit better than Josh Allen, just personally. But where I'm seeing Lamar going is third round, early third round, late third round. And I think that's, I think you're going to hear a lot of discourse about waiting on quarterbacks, and that's kind of gone away in recent years. Late round quarterbacks has always been the experts' move, but for some reason last year experts decided to completely flip on that, and I'm not exactly sure that was the correct thing to do, looking at Jaden Daniels and stuff. But Lamar Jackson is gonna be a guaranteed QB1. So Stu, how would you handle Lamar Jackson for your drafts?
Well, the way it's kind of shapes up for me a lot of years, and maybe listeners will resonate with this a little bit. But you're going to take your running backs, you're going to take your wide receivers, the core of your teams, and then you've got, you know, quarterbacks and tight ends. Do you want to take one of those two early? Because if you take both early, your core of the team, it always feels to me really, really weak. So I always take, you know, one or the other. And you might have heard in our last couple episodes is that we're not super excited about tight ends. So I think this year is a decent year to pay that premium price for one of the top flight quarterbacks. And honestly, as I'm sitting here listening to you, James, I'm trying to think about, you know, would I rather have Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson on my fantasy team? And you can't go wrong either way, but I would probably say Lamar myself, just from the team around him, and most importantly, his rushing upside. He's one of the most prolific quarterback rushers in the game right now, and that is just a fantasy football cheat code. If he wasn't the MVP in the real-life NFL, he was absolutely a fantasy MVP last season. So paying that price in the third, it might hurt for a little bit, but you're going to be happy that you have Lamar Jackson in your lineup week in and week out. So I've got no problem with him going there.
All right. Well said, Stu. I think that the guy on the Ravens roster that is going to end up playing a little bit of a... There's Indy in the background. Say hello, Indy.
We love dogs and football.
We love dogs. Indy the Golden Retriever, everybody. Almost 1 year old. Next week.
Aw, happy early birthday, Indy.
Yeah. All right. The player on this Ravens roster who I believe is probably going to be more important to your fantasy drafts as a whole in terms of trying to figure out what people are going to do with him is Derrick Henry. I had a lot of Derrick Henry shares last year, and I was incredibly impressed with the way that his season panned out in Baltimore. We know longtime Tennessee Titans guy was kind of hamstrung by, you know, the Titans. But he really kind of got to show his dominance again last year in Baltimore. I'm seeing him as the RB7 going in the second round. And I've seen that fluctuate a ton over the last few weeks. I've seen him as low as like RB15, RB17. I've seen him going in like the fourth round, which if I get him in the fourth round, ooh-wee. But I really think that Derrick Henry has been undervalued, and I think kind of where he is right now is a reflection of that, kind of the market adjusting. But Stu, what are your thoughts on Tractor Cito?
Yeah, this is one of those, you know, it could go either way for a lot of people. You could talk one way, talk the other way. He is enigmatic, absolutely. I was out on him last year. I mean, going to a good offense, great, but every single year ticks further into the future, and nobody beats Father Time, especially not a running back. He's now 31 years old, and I'm leading this whole conversation towards one way, and now I'm going to take a left turn. I am done doubting Derrick Henry. I will ride this pony, metaphorically, until the wheels fall off, and ponies don't even have wheels, so they're never falling off. I mean, last year, 325 carries, almost 2,000 yards. He was tied for first with the number of touchdowns. This is a great offense. They run the ball much better than they throw the ball. Sorry, Lamar, it's not amazing. Even if he regresses back or starts to show his age a little bit, getting him in the second or even the third round, there's no way you get him in the fourth, in my opinion. Someone's going to pull the trigger before that. But as you're, you know, maybe it's high tier RB2 sort of line, low or RB1, you're not going to be disappointed, I don't think. He's not going to, you know, lead the league in a lot of different statistical categories, but he can absolutely be a key member of your fantasy rosters. I do think, though, he carries just a little bit of that risk. I mean, the wheels will fall off. I just, you know, I'm done doubting at this point. He's just beyond human. So, James, you might own a lot of shares of him again. You think you will?
I would love to. I would honestly love to. But looking at a few of the other names that are going around him, Kyren Williams, Chase Brown. Would you rather have either of those guys more than Derrick Henry?
I'd rather have Derrick Henry over those two.
I think I agree.
In this moment.
The only one... I'm not going to take Chase Brown over Derrick Henry. Kyren Williams gives me pause, but it's still Tractor Cito. Mm-hmm. And I know that a good part of him last year was a little bit touchdown dependent, but if you're in that offense, you're going to get red zone attempts, and you've got a human bowling ball attached to a rocket launcher. He's going to score. So I feel very good about Derrick Henry. Other running backs in that roster, Justice Hill, the RB64, Keaton Mitchell, RB73. I see Justice Hill actually being drafted in late rounds. I don't really see why, if I'm being honest.
I mean, there's always value in a handcuff, especially in an offense that is so, you know, running minded and based around the running attack. But you're holding him until an injury happens. So he's dead roster until he becomes gold. So it's hard to say, you know, I'm willing to give up one of my precious spots to hold Justice Hill for so long, and then Derrick Henry plays, you know, 17 games. It's tough to say.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Derrick Henry is... I would sort of treat him the same way I treat Saquon Barkley. If he goes down... I don't think the handcuff is going to be that important in the offense. They're going to change their game plan to work around everyone else and then run the ball out of the backfield when they have to. I don't think that if Derrick Henry goes down, you're going to see guys getting 25, even 20 touches in a game. But that's just me. Let's go ahead and look at wide receivers. This one's a little tougher to gauge for me. Zay Flowers, wide receiver one. Or he's the first wide receiver in that offense, wide receiver 23. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver 60. New to the squad, DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver 66. Zay Flowers is a guy that I don't know what to do with. He shows flashes, definitely flashes of PPR darling behavior, and then he'll go stretches where he doesn't really get a lot of action. I had him in his rookie season. Last year was his sophomore campaign. Now we're going into year three, and you hear a lot of discourse about the year three jump for wide receivers. I feel weirdly about Zay Flowers. At that kind of early wide receiver three territory, that feels like where he should go. He has the potential to rise above that. I'm just kind of wary of him. Stu, what are your thoughts?
It's absolutely fair to be wary, but I honestly feel like I'm very in on Zay Flowers this year. More so than just a boom bust flex option, I wouldn't be horrified if he was my wide receiver too. If I went running back heavy in the first couple rounds, took like a Saquon, and then I don't know, maybe Chase Brown falls to me in the second or something. The thing about it is, and the thing that's changing in Baltimore is, and in my opinion, centered around a guy that we're going to talk about next. It's who is that number one option for Lamar? Who's that number one option, even in an offense that is not pass-happy, per se? I mean, they're going to have to throw at some point. And Mark Andrews, we're going to talk about him, has been fairly disappointing in recent games, if you hadn't noticed. If he's been dropping more than just game-winning catches in the AFC playoffs. So, Zay Flowers, coming into his third year, he's established. He's a very good talent. He's fast. Good hands. I really do think he takes a step forward, even over the 74 receptions for just over 1,000 yards that he had last year. He was down in the touchdown department. You know, some positive regression there is going to do a lot for him. I think there's a lot to be untapped, or tapped into, I guess is the phrase, with Zay Flowers. And I think people in the 2025 drafts and the 2025 season are going to be very, very thankful that they did take that risk and go with Zay Flowers in their drafts.
Okay.
But all that is to say, you know, how do we feel about Mark Andrews? And, you know, there's other wide receivers too, Rashad Bateman, DeAndre Hopkins, who's well past his prime. I don't think either of them are cutting into any sort of target share for Zay Flowers. James, do you feel similarly? Do you want to talk about the tight end, or do you want to talk a little bit about Nuke or the former Minnesota Golden Gopher Bateman?
This is the thing that's kind of eating at me. How can Lamar Jackson be so good? The discourse used to be he was a running back playing quarterback, but he's become a very good passer, and we've seen Mark Andrews command a lot of attention. Last year, he didn't really get that until the very end of the season. Zay Flowers is, without question, the top target there. But I don't understand how Lamar Jackson can be so good, and yet their best receiver is placed at the wide receiver 23. And, like, we've seen Zay Flowers play football. We know he's good. We know he has a high ceiling. Why can't this offense produce a wide receiver one? I don't see why that couldn't be the case here with Zay Flowers. And yet, the discourse remains this. I don't want to avoid Baltimore because it's a high-powered offense, but it's that consistency at receiver. And I don't think we're going to see that consistency at tight end again with Mark Andrews. He's currently listed as the tight end 10. I feel weird about this Baltimore team. Like, I feel like they should be a Super Bowl contender, if not a favorite. And I'm looking at the wide receiver core being a little bit confused.
I don't feel very confused. There's a gem amidst the muck, and I think Zay Flowers is that gem.
All right. Wide receiver 23 is a low ball for him. I think if you can get him at a price you like, go get him. Thoughts on the tight end position?
You know, I have lots of thoughts. He's dropped so far in rankings and in public opinion that to me, in this moment, he almost feels undervalued. Like, I get it. You know, he had a very poor season overall. He was very disappointing for someone that you maybe missed out on, Travis Kelce or Sam Laporta last year, and you got Mark Andrews, and you were like, okay, I'm good on tight end. I've got one of the top four or five guys. I'm going to have a set and forget tight end. I don't want to worry about streaming. And then he kind of laid an egg multiple times last year. I mean, it wasn't great early on in the season. There were two games he was held to just one target with no catches. Like you said, it picked up towards the end of the season, but really his value lies in the attention he draws from Lamar Jackson in the red zone. He had 11 touchdowns last year. I don't think that is going to go away, but he's not going to be a volume play. Maybe a tight end 7 or 8 is a little more what I would put him at. Would I hate to see him on my team? No, but I'm also not excited to see most tight ends on my team. I would just caution us to not drop him too far, you know? I mean, he's only 29. He's a very good player. He has been a very good player for many, many years. If he drops so far and you can get him at value, great, but he's not that top flight option anymore, James. Do you think Mark Andrews is going to end up on your team at all in the 2025 season?
Well, if I'm punting on tight ends, in the mock drafts I ran today, he was landing around the 12th round, which
that sounds feels disgusting.
Feels like a ridiculous steal.
Absolutely.
If I see Mark Andrews in the 12th round, the rest of my team is already built out. Why wouldn't I take that? If he ends up being there, yes, I will have a lot of shares of Mark Andrews, but I can't imagine he goes that late. We know how fantasy drafts work out. People go in with plans, and then they panic and reach for people. Mark Andrews is a perfect example of a guy who people would panic reach for in the middle rounds because they see a run on tight ends and they want to get a hold of it. As your fantasy football gurus, we are here to give you advice sometimes. I'm going to say, just as an affirmation, I will not reach. Say it with me, everybody. I will not reach.
I might reach.
Okay, Stu might reach. I might also reach, but probably not here. If you're into defenses, the Ravens have a good one. I don't think we really need to
talk
about
not.
It. Take your defenses last.
New
they
kicker,
have a
though.
New kicker.
Mm-hmm. Young guy.
New kicker. Tyler Loop out of the University of Arizona. Rookie. I hope he kicks him long and straight. Let's talk Bengals. Let's talk Bengals. Where would you like to start on Cincinnati,
well,
Dr. Stewart?
As we start with Cincinnati, I do want to offer a small apology to Pittsburgh, who did finish with a better record than Cincinnati, but is a far worse team, so we're not talking about them today. Bengals, couple interesting targets here to talk about, primarily those wide receivers, but we can very quickly talk about Joe Burrow first. You know, first overall pick back in 2020 in his parents' basement. Millionaire in his dad's basement was a fun little story. One of the best quarterbacks in the league, at the very least, top five. Doesn't offer that same rushing upside that Lamar does, so, you know, fantasy-wise, he's a step down from that. If not a 1A, he's a 1B or a 1C option in your 2025 drafts. Right now, we're seeing him go in, like, maybe the late third, something like that, around QB5. That feels a touch early for someone who doesn't offer as much rushing upside as someone like the Lamar. So maybe I wouldn't pay that premium price, but he's still an incredible talent. You wouldn't be sorry if you got him on your teams. He's going to be producing again because he retained those essential weapons that he has that we'll talk about a little bit later, James. How you feeling about Joe?
Joe Burrow, QB5 on paper. I think he's QB3 in reality. He's the best pure passer in the NFL. There are probably people who disagree with me on that, but I don't see that much evidence to say he's not. There is the whole rushing thing. He has some mobility, but it's not his main bag. But also, guys, look at his receiving core. He's going to be a good pick for you. I agree with Stu. I don't like him in the third. If I am resigned to take a quarterback early, let's push him to the fourth. Let's see if we can wait him out and hopefully get somebody in the fifth, because I don't really like taking quarterbacks that early anyway. But Joe Burrow, you get him, you're probably going to be happy. I'm an enormous Joe Burrow fan, and I would love to have a lot of him on my teams.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about the receivers?
Are we going to skip Chase Brown, my guy? My boy?
We'll get to Chase Brown.
Okay,
but,
fine.
Like, talking about Joe Burrow, you got to talk about his two main weapons.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about Ja'Marr Chase real quick, because he's the wide receiver one. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. I mean, you can argue Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb. Those are really the only other guys in that conversation. But my bone to pick with you, America, why are you taking Ja'Marr Chase over Saquon Barkley? And furthermore, why are you taking Bijan Robinson over Saquon Barkley?
Okay, one of those is a little bit easier to argue than the other.
I agree. But as I'm looking through the rankings today, I don't understand how Saquon Barkley becomes the RB3 for you people. What are you guys seeing that I'm not? But, sorry, this is about the Bengals.
James, you are here to lead them along the right path. You need to get the word out that they are wrong. And if you come at us, I'm speaking for America, obviously, because I have the platform to do so. If you come at us with aggression, we're going to go right to Ja'Marr Chase first overall 1-1.
I like Saquon 1-1. But Jamar Chase 1-2. Really, it depends on what kind of league you're in. Jamar Chase, I would say more explosive than consistent. I have reservations. That hot take, hot, extremely hot take. I have reservations.
That is scalding.
I know. Jamar Chase, if you look at his numbers last year, you see a lot of explosions. You see a lot of big numbers, and you see a few little itty-bitty numbers. I like, for if I'm going to take a guy that early, I want 20s every week. I see some 50s in there. Jamar Chase was not that much better than CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson for me to justify taking him over Saquon Barkley. I'm taking Saquon if I get the chance. You want to take Jamar Chase, take Jamar Chase. It's a free country, and you're probably going to be fine. That's just my thought.
Okay.
It ultimately comes down to how you want to compose your team.
Okay.
Stu, am I completely out of line here?
James, my toes are curling, dude. Oh, my gosh. So scalding hot. Okay, you can take Saquon over Jamar Chase, but the situations and everything about Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, they don't even compare. Like this Jamar Chase had 175 targets last year. You want consistency, try no fewer than 6 targets in a, or sorry, he had 5 targets on Sunday, September 15th against Kansas City. And Kansas City is great about taking away your number one weapon. He had 5 games with multiple scores. He got into the double digit of targets 1, 2, 3, 4 different times. Or sorry, that's double-digit receptions, not targets. He's averaging almost 10 targets a game. 175 divided by 17. 1,708 yards. 17 touchdowns. There is nothing, absolutely nothing you can tell me to take CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson over this guy. The only, and I mean the only reservation that I had about him last year, and it was a pretty flippin' big one, because yes, I did trade Jamar Chase last year on purpose, was the fact that he didn't have that bag, and he has the bag now. The only risk this year is that he coasts because he has the money now. And I can't really predict that, but I'm hoping that a fierce competitor like this, a true star in the game of football, is not going to be someone who's now just coasts to however much money he's going to get. That was the only reservation I had last year, and it is gone. He's got the money. He's got the talent. He's 25 years old in the prime of his life. I wish I was 25 years old. But he, far and away, number one option at wide receiver. You should not shy away from it. You should be salivating. As soon as your draft room opens, an hour before your draft, and you randomize your picks, you should be looking to see if you have the chance to get this guy. And I will not take any arguments against. So, I've said my piece. I'm glad you shared your opinion, James. But fiercely, fiercely, no. No, this guy is something special.
I feel like I threw one up there for you to dunk all over me.
Sorry, sorry. I'll try to back it off a little bit.
Well, here's a thought. Should this be bet number 2 on the year?
All right, I'm getting the bet card out. Fine. What's the bet? What's your over under?
I'm talking PPR points, season long, Jamar Chase versus Saquon Barkley. Because my big argument is you should take Saquon Barkley as your 1-1 every time, even in PPR leagues.
See, I don't know if I feel strongly enough to make a bet against that. I thought you were going to say like a CeeDee Lamb or a Justin Jefferson. I'm totally cool with Saquon going over Jamar Chase. I'm not arguing for him to be the 1-1. I am arguing that there is absolutely no contest that he is the wide receiver 1.
For argument's sake, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Stu, I need a little bit of redemption in the eyes of CeeDee Lamb. So I'm going to... I've made one really stupid bet this year. On hindsight, J.J. McCarthy... Not J.J. McCarthy. Jackson Dart starting 7 games is a ridiculous thing to expect, and I don't know why I said that. I'm going to say another ridiculous thing. CeeDee Lamb is going to finish over Ja'Marr Chase in PPR points. That's my bet.
Okay, fine. I'll take that. So, CeeDee... I feel horrible, by the way, betting against my guy CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee versus Ja'Marr. Also, one of the major reasons I traded Ja'Marr was because I was so sick of adding the apostrophe and the two R's in his name when I was texting people about him. It was so annoying. But we have a good friend named Chase, so I can't just refer to Ja'Marr Chase as Chase, because now that gets confusing. That's neither here nor there.
We've spent a lot of time talking about Ja'Marr Chase. But I think the guy who's going to end up being a bigger decision for people is T. Higgins. I'm seeing him as the wide receiver 13. Does that seem early to you?
Honestly, anything with T. Higgins seems early to me. He battles so many injuries. I'm glad he got paid. I think he got paid too much. He's the clear number two option in what is a very pass-happy offense. But it's anything just feels too much. Getting him in the third... as wide receiver 13? Think he's going to be the best of the wide receiver twos? No, not a chance. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
I mean, I'm kind of going back on myself here. I think I'd rather have Zay Flowers.
You know, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to say. And I was the one that was higher on Zay Flowers when we just talked about him.
Yeah, T. Higgins, just the inconsistency. And back half of the season, he did catch fire a little bit, had 200-yard games, he had 2 games of 4 or fewer receptions, but overall, T. Higgins didn't perform up to expectations last year, and I'm not really sure how we got him to wide receiver 13. That's the best of the wide receiver twos, borderline wide receiver one. You've already got Ja'Marr Chase taking that many more looks. T. Higgins is going to be good for a deep ball every now and again. Every now and again, he might get a lot of targets when Ja'Marr Chase is covered up. But how often is Ja'Marr Chase going to be covered? How often is Ja'Marr Chase going to be blanketed by an elite corner, even if an elite corner can keep up with him? I do not see T. Higgins as the wide receiver 13. I do not see him as being worth my third round draft pick.
No, absolutely not. He's not returning value at that time. And if he does, good for him. But let's chat. I mean, I'm taking us back to my guy. Look, I got him off the waiver wire in an extremely down season. I am very fond of Chase Brown. We talked about him in our Risers and Fallers After the Draft episode, if you guys want to zoom back in time and listen to that as well, listeners. But Chase Brown, very solid target. He's currently going in the second round as running back 9. That feels a bit high for me. Look, he benefited a ton from Zach Moss going down with injury. Zach Moss went down with a neck injury, missed like half the season. Before that, it was pretty much anybody's backfield. Even now, giving Chase Brown a little bit of the edge, I think Zach Moss is going to cut into a lot of that workload, and people may be overlooking that a little bit, that there is somebody else in that, you know, locker room that has shown that they can shoulder a good to decent portion of the workload in a competent or competent adjacent NFL offense. I'm being a little hard on the Zach Moss tenure on the Colts right now, but... I'm a little hesitant to pay the price for Chase Brown. I think he's a really, really good player. I think he's got a good opportunity and an excellent offense. I want to temper expectations just a little bit, James. Do you kind of feel similarly, or are you gonna pay that premium price for Chase Brown?
I do agree with you. I feel like I would rather have other running backs that are going around the same time. We talked about Derrick Henry there. We talked about Kyren Williams. Other guys who are going to go around there, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, James Cook. Not that I would necessarily take all of those guys over Chase Brown, but, you know, I kind of see this as a prove-it year for Chase Brown. Prove he wasn't a flash in the pan last year. Prove that he's going to be enough of an impact player that the Bengals are going to be willing to give him, one, a lion's share over a competent Zach Moss, and two, that they're going to look to him in red zone situations over guys like Mike Gesicki and over letting Joe Burrow do what he does best and make plays. So I like Chase Brown. I feel like it's got to be right place, right time for me to take him at his price right now. And I'm not even saying he's not priced well. I feel like there's a lot of good running backs out there and a lot of guys who are a little bit of a more proven commodity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, maybe he's flashing a little bit too brightly if he was a flash in the pan. Could be some fool's gold going into 2025. And you mentioned Mike Gesicki. We do talk about the tight ends a little bit. Definitely a streaming target. Probably a streaming target. Maybe 1 to 4 games. You could bet on him having a pretty good game. But beyond that, he's not going to be somebody that you roster very frequently. He did have 65 receptions last year, just over 600 yards. Only 2 touchdowns for being possibly a larger red zone target for Joe Burrow. But, you know, nothing more than streamer for me.
Yeah. Punt on tight ends, everybody. All right. Evan McPherson is a good kicker. But I think that is about it for us today. Stu, you want to drink some beer?
I would like to drink some beer. Wasn't Evan McPherson like kind of disappointing last year?
He was. Ever since he watched the Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Poor
he
guy.
He started to fall off.
He was mesmerized. All right, beer, beer time, James. Do you want to go first with the beer?
Sure. I am drinking from Big Sky Brewing in Montana. Moose Drool. The most appetizing beer name I've ever heard. Moose Drool. It is a brown ale, 5% ABV. It is one of the most widely accepted prototypes of the brown ale category. If you want to know what a brown ale tastes like, drink you a Moose Drool. Stu, what are you drinking?
Moose Drool is one of the best names for a beer I think I've ever heard in my life, and I've heard a lot of names of different beers. Well, for myself tonight, I've got something my future brother-in-law got me. Shout out, Jack. This is from Beer Brewery. This is their very aptly named oatmeal stout, or oat stout. It's just that. It doesn't have a fun name. You have Moose Drool, I have oatmeal stout. It's like the Comic Sans of stouts. We've got 5.5% ABV. It's actually quite enjoyable. It's not the best stout I've ever had in my life, but it is perfectly, you know, something you could just have on a weekday. Just a one beer sort of night, just to sip on something and, you know, watch a show, play a game, talk with people because we have to interact with people. Perfectly fine and reasonable. So I like it, and I'm excited to drink it tonight.
All right. Let's go ahead and crack these beers then in 3, 2, 1. And I'm realizing that... Oh, I do have a glass back here. This is not an ad.
This is the ad your ad could sound like.
Throwback to the ad your ad could sound like.
You guys remember that when we were flexing our improv comedy muscles just on the fly every single podcast? It was good times.
We were okay.
You were not bad. You were doing a lot of the heavy lifting though.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right, Stu. Any closing thoughts for today?
Absolutely. Reach out to us on our socials. We are on X. We are on Instagram. We take beer recommendations. Please give me a beer recommendation. Fantasyfootbeer at gmail com. I want to know what you like to drink and what you want me to drink on air, because I like to try new things. Now that the socials are plugged, that's basically it. Super excited for this episode to come out. Happy to chat with you guys over the airwaves, interact with us, you know. And one last thing from Dr. Stu. For the love of God, take your contact lenses out before you go to sleep. Thank you. This has been a public service announcement from your local optometrist.
Thank you, Dr. Stu. And for Dr. Stu, I'm James Kemp, telling you all to not sleep in your contacts. Thanks for listening. Good night. Good talk.